to start the day. Nico and Cheyenne.
Camel Country 107.9.
It's Nico and Cheyenne on a Taco Tuesday. Morning, y'all.
Morning. Tacos sound great. I know it's 6 a.m., but...
always sound great.
That's a good point.
Breakfast tacos.
Bro, breakfast tacos. Yeah.
I guess we're ordering food this morning. Hey.
Love that.
All right. So Easton, your big boy, is even bigger.
He turned 8 yesterday, and let me tell you what. That boy thought he was the bee's knees yesterday.
He was wearing a crown.
He wore a crown. He's worn a crown since Sunday.
I love that.
Because we went to church Sunday morning, and on his little tag, it shows your birthday, so everybody realized, oh, Easton's birthday's tomorrow.
That's so cool.
So they made him a birthday. Well, he made a birthday crown. To which he wore to brunch following church.
Nice.
Home all evening, took it off, went to bed while he was in his slumber. I decorated his rooms. I blew up manually by my mouth.
I saw that.
30 balloons. Put them in his room. Hung
coming
up streamers.
Coming from a balloon family, I know what that's all about.
I know. I almost actually called your wife and was like, do you have any balloon blowing tips?
We do. We have all the inflators at home, but they're like mechanical devices. Like there's one thing that kind of looks like
a hand
pump.
Oh, the hand pumps?
Yeah.
See, I think that would have been
like,
better, too.
She's got the ultimate one. It's like the... yeah, that thing has like
that
a V8 attached to it.
So nice.
That thing is real nice.
So then he woke up to his room being all decorated, and from that moment forth yesterday, he just thought that he was the coolest kid on the block, wore his crown to Walmart.
Like, I will show these minions that I'm the king.
Yep. And then we went to Texas Roadhouse for dinner last night.
Yes.
And you know how they like bring out the saddle, you get on the saddle, and they're like, hey, Texas Roadhouse. Well, she announced that Easton was turning 7.
Failure.
You would have thought that his world crumbled. He was so upset because he's been waiting a full year to turn 8. It was a big deal, and she ruined his moment. We went to dinner, and it was great.
Well, that's great.
He went to bed.
I'm glad to hear you
cool
had a
kid.
Great time.
Yeah.
Producer AB Baby, how was yours?
Oh, it was a great weekend.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nico can't move. Nico's on the struggle.
Which is either like the
move.
Sign of a great weekend or a terrible weekend.
I can move, okay? I can move. Just very limited. Made an appointment with the chiropractor today at 2:30. So we'll see what's wrong with Nico today. Because there's
like
always something wrong with me.
Your like first couple of vertebrae are probably out.
After 40, just things just started to go haywire. It's really bad. I know it's super cliche to say, oh, you're getting old. I'm really getting old, like fast.
He's like, oh, my back's out.
Oh, my neck. So I haven't been able to turn my head in a couple days. That's a cause for concern right there. Mm-hmm. So made an appointment. We'll see if it's just something, a little adjustment and like.
A little tension pull.
I love
fine.
Those videos where they're like, just hold still. Take a deep breath.
They're
so
my favorite.
Hopefully they crack up my neck a little bit because it does not move very well.
No, and we just put a bunch of Icy Hot on it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's
we could rough you up a little bit if you want.
Oh, I can.
Please do.
Some good. Mostly bad. Nico breaks the news.
Camel Country 107.9.
All right, we got to break the news, Cheyenne.
Who are we calling and why?
We're calling Alan because his buddy Javi lent him an item years ago.
Okay.
And it's almost like he totally forgot that he has somebody else's property.
Oh, it just became his.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He just acquired it over the years. So we're going to call him and say, you know what? You can keep it, but we're going to charge you for it.
With interest.
Hello.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah. Hi. Who's this?
It's Nico from Nico Breaks the News.
Okay.
Hi.
What is that?
My name's Nico.
Yeah.
From Nico Breaks the News.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
I'm sorry. I hear you, yeah. What can I do for you? What do you want?
Well, I have news from Javi, your friend.
Okay.
He told me that he wanted to tell you not to worry about returning his iPad. He said, you can keep it for $200. So,
okay.
In exchange for his iPad, he just wants $200. He said, just to be clear, you don't have to return it. So don't stress over it because clearly you haven't stressed over it because you've had it for 2 years. So Javi wanted me to tell you that he will be taking $100 as payment per year for you having his iPad. So $200 for 2 years.
Very interesting. For his Generation 1 iPad with 8 megabytes of storage that's probably been sitting in a Goodwill near my house. Yeah.
Wait, you donated his iPad? Wait, what?
I forgot about it completely. I don't think it worked in years.
The plot has thickened so much.
Guess what, Alan? Javi has not forgotten about it.
Okay, yeah. He's dreaming.
Should I tell him you're going to return it or $200?
Don't you even worry. I'll talk to Javi when I see him.
Okay. It's actually Nico and Cheyenne from Camel Country, so we're just here to spread the message, okay?
Yeah, we're here for you guys. Yeah.
Now I see. Okay, this is very good. Thank you, Javi, for making my day.
Nico breaks the news. Mornings at 6:15 and 8:15
on Camel Country 107.9.
Top 3 romantic places on Earth. Number 1, the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Number 2, Niagara Falls.
What? less romantic, but if that's your jam, okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of people propose there.
It's possible.
Number 3, why is everything French sounding? The deli at the grocery store.
What?
I can see that.
Guys.
Yeah.
I was at the grocery store, meandering down aisle number 12, and at the very end of the aisle, where the Hot Wheels cars are, because that's where my son likes to gravitate to immediately when we get into Safeway, because he thinks I'm going to buy a Hot Wheels car every time we go to Safeway.
Love that for you.
There was a man and a woman attacking each other.
Like aggressively throwing punches?
No. But they were being physical.
Are you talking about public displays of affection?
Dude, this was more than a display of affection. It was a display for life.
Oh.
Life. Like,
wow.
He was checking her vital signs.
Wow.
He was going full in. And these people were not teenager. You know when you were a teenager, you like to kind of do it whenever you could.
Yeah, yeah.
Away from anyone who could get you in trouble for
absolutely.
Making out.
Absolutely. So like if you could run around the corner and like get it in real quick. Yeah. Yeah, I
know. Get a little smoochies in there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
These people were putting on a show.
In the middle of Safeway?
And they were not teenagers. They were mid-50s, I would say, ish. Maybe mid-40s.
You know, here's the thing. Like, I hear what... Like, gross, right? You're in the middle of public. Like...
I hear you.
Tone it down. But so, also, the fact that you're still able to, like, love your significant other that much to where you can't wait to get to the car.
Yeah.
Because some of us didn't even have Valentine's Day dates. So,
you
like,
have to wait
good
to get to the car.
For you.
So, I thought about it, and I'm like, why are they going at it so hard?
Right.
Was this man just released from captivity?
Oh, you went down a rabbit hole.
Maybe.
Take me down it.
Maybe he could have been imprisoned.
Yeah.
And therefore, Lord knows, when I'm meeting back up with my baby boot thing after being locked up in the clink, I need to get it on.
Yeah, you need your kisses.
You
need
know
your
what
loves
I'm saying?
And hugs, for sure.
Or maybe he just returned from deployment. Which in that case, I would be all over my baby boot thing again.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that.
Or maybe they were...
Don't go there.
Cheating.
Don't go there. No.
Yes, scandalous lovers.
But if they were, they wouldn't be making out in the middle of a Safeway where people could see and take pictures.
Well,
so I'm gonna cross
knows
that
who
one
you are,
off your
if
list.
You're anonymous, you know.
Except for if you're living on like some Living in Phoenix page on Facebook, you're like, oh my god, look at these two people making out.
It just seemed like very new love to me.
Aww.
Like, you know, you remember the first, you know, couple months of your relationship, you're all over each other,
and you could be in new love in your 50s for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I personally do not mind public displays of affection. Uh-huh. I definitely think that there's times when it's appropriate and times when it's not.
Yeah.
Like if there were kids in the aisle, like have. Like the wherewithal to know to not put your tongue down someone's throat.
Yeah, no, this was aggressive.
But you know what? If nobody's around and you're just like, mama, you look good.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, get it.
Fellas, 602-894-5653. Cheyenne loves public displays of affection.
I don't mind it. I don't mind
what?
It.
What? Do that thing again that you just did?
Mama, yeah, get it. That was so aggressive.
call us up. I don't know if this guy was trying to execute proper CPR on this woman while she was standing up.
I don't know what that means.
With his tongue. Cheyenne, you okay?
Well, yeah.
Do you need CPR?
Not like that.
Abe, get over there. These people were making out so hardcore at Safeway, the most romantic, exotic place on the planet.
It's wild.
Especially when you go to scan like a bottle of booze and it goes, ding, ding, got to make sure that you're over 21.
Yeah.
And the little person comes over and they're like, oh, ha. And then they scan you in. It's not romantic at all is what
it's
I'm
not.
Trying to get at here, people. And yet this couple was going at it.
Like I said, I'm a fan of PDA. I love PDA. I think that there's a time and place for excessive PDA.
Right, right.
This type is borderline for me.
We weren't like in a beautiful garden with like a fountain in the background.
No, it was,
you know,
you've
with
saved
flowers.
38 cents with your Safeway club card.
Like, oh, you're over 21? Okay, cool. Here you go. Like that was the atmosphere.
Please take your receipt.
Shelly and Gilbert, good morning.
Hey, morning, y'all.
Morning.
Hey, so what are your thoughts on this couple doing super PDA at the self-checkout?
You know, my parents are the same way. They are like extreme PDAers, and they're so much in love. They've been this way all their life and telling me that like I would eventually get used to it and see the beauty in their love. But, you know, from being born in the 60s and kind of going through the hippie era, they're just like way too much.
So what you're saying is you didn't get used to it and you don't like it.
Yeah, my dad's handsies with my mom, and my mom is just like always like nibbling on his ear.
Sweet. I've been single for too long. The fact that I could just be, oh, it's so nice.
If we get like a 70-year-old couple that calls in that makes out all the time, this is going to get very strange.
You know what? I'm glad for them.
Is this
I would
the
love
tip
to
of the iceberg?
It might be.
So, hey, Shelly, are you ever embarrassed to like introduce your friends to your family?
No.
Is there a warning? Like, if you were to bring a boyfriend home, would you give them a warning of like, hey, FYI, my parents are... handsy.
A little embarrassing.
Yes. I would definitely do that. I have in the past, and I don't want to say I've lost significant others over it, but they're definitely not used to that kind of free love.
I could understand that. Well, good luck to you.
Hey, man, if I was dating you and I met your parents, I'd be like, whoa, this family is freaky.
That would be good
for
some people.
This girl is a keeper.
Yeah, I mean, here's hoping that someday it'll work in my favor.
Well, cheers to you, Shelly.
I didn't want to admit this at first because it makes me look completely stupid.
Okay, what is it that...
But did you ever, like, approach a very common thing in the world and go... I don't know. Buttons. This is exactly what happened to me.
Okay.
I walked into the gas station because I was dying of sleepiness and I needed some coffee.
Yeah, you were tired.
But I didn't want to go for the easy energy drink. I'm trying to stay away from those because Lord knows, man, what that's really doing on the inside.
Yeah.
It's just, it's punching you and it's a lot of chemicals. Anyway, I digress. I looked at the coffee machine and it was just like, it looked like a spaceship.
Oh.
And it was very intimidating, which it's probably just like hit one button and get your coffee and then you pay for it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, there were so many options. And as you know, Cheyenne, I just like to have like the simplest of black coffee with a sweetener, like a Splenda or whatever.
So two Splendas.
I looked at this thing, two Splendas, depending on the size of the coffee.
Yeah.
I looked at this thing and I didn't know what was going on. It was matcha lattes, it was baristas, Americanos, and different beans and all this stuff. Please tell me that I overthought it.
You definitely overthought those ones.
Have you ever used one of those
machines?
Yeah,
I have, because they also have like hot chocolate ones and like when we road trip, the kids get hot
all
chocolate.
All in one, right?
Yeah. Frankly, it is just one button. Like you put your cup underneath it.
It is one button.
Because it's like pre-back. But I understand, like, you don't see it or use it very often. I can see how that could be intimidating.
Yeah, no offense to anybody who gets coffee, like, super early in the morning when they first start their drive to work, which a lot of people do at gas stations, yeah. Which is why they have coffee at gas stations.
Also, don't sleep on gas station coffee, because QT coffee is fire.
Oh.
It's really good. And so is, like, Flying J and Pilot and Loves, but... They're all really good coffee.
Yeah, you live out there on the California border where they have a Flying J. Is there a Flying J anywhere else in the valley? I don't think so. But my point is I'm looking at these guys, like, they're all, for the most part, like, blue collar, just like getting their work guys, getting their coffee.
They need that diesel fuel in their system.
Yeah, they just need that get-go. And I'm looking at them going, these men are the rocket scientists that I need to model my life after, because I don't know how to use the single serving coffee machine.
I understand that. Do you know how to use regular coffee machines?
No, I know how to use the Keurig pod one. Like, you put the pod in and you hit the button and you're good to go.
Do you know how to use a regular coffee machine?
So stupid. No, hell no.
You don't know how to put grounds in the thing and, like, put the water in the
thing?
With
the filter and the... What do I look like?
Sounds like you know how to use it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a filter, a couple scoops of coffee grounds, and water.
Yeah.
And you press...
Nah. No, that's. Do you know why they made the single serving coffee machine?
Because it was easier.
It's for people like me. It's for people like me that don't know how to use. What? You want me to measure? You want me to. What are you talking about? My cooking expertise involves one thing: turn on the grill, put meat on the grill, cook meat. Take meat off grill.
Oh, bless Dana. Bless your wife.
Meat.
Me cook meat.
Put meat on the grill. Yeah, that's about it. So if you see me standing in front of the ladies and gentlemen of the coffee nation, the camel nation, if you see me standing in front of the coffee machine going, just help me out.
just take the cup and
Nico,
push the button.
Just push this button right here and you will have coffee. Thank you.
Nico and Cheyenne.
Camel Country 107.9.
I need to know if men go through the same issue in a retail store that women go through.
Hit me with your best shot.
You go to the clothing section, you pick out your size, the size that is true to you, you know you wear.
34-30 jeans.
Great. So you get a 34-30 jean in, I don't know, True Religion, is that still a brand anymore?
Yes.
And then you go and get the same size in a Wrangler jean, right?
Yeah.
Only one of them fits. Why?
Right.
The same size.
I see what you say.
Women's clothing has a huge curve as far as sizes go. And I will tell you what, I am a confident woman. I am so confident in who I am and what I look like and all the things.
You are. And you can see this confidence on her Instagram in her half-naked photos.
I don't post those
Radio
anymore.
Cheyenne, Radio Cheyenne.
I don't post those no more.
Sorry.
There's no thirst traps on my Instagram.
2000
so if you're looking for that.
More Instagram followers. Okay. You were saying.
To the point.
Very confident.
But the one thing that will deplete my self-confidence and make me go home and cry is shopping for clothes, because the curve is so vast.
But isn't that helpful to have a wider array of sizes?
It's helpful
so it can
to have,
be like a little more custom and personalized?
Yes and no. Like, I see what you're trying to say.
Because they say every body type is different, right?
Every body type is different. So having different shapes would make sense. But if you're getting a medium that you know is a medium in your size in, like, Target, for example, and then you go to, I don't know, wherever you go next.
Bloomies.
And you get a medium there, and it doesn't fit, so now you have to size up to a large. It makes you feel like absolute garbage.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Just like the difference in what it's called.
It's the difference in what it's
called.
They
may as well call the quadruple XL, like, overweight sized.
No, you can't say that.
No, I mean for guys. I would never say that for women.
You can't say it.
That's very dangerous.
It is, though, but that's...
No,
I mean,
but for a guy, if you're wearing a quadruple XL shirt...
I see what you're saying.
Size...
It's gigantic.
You're overweight.
It is a parachute.
Yeah.
Body dysmorphia is a very real thing.
Absolutely.
And it's even worse when sizes aren't across the board and you feel like crap leaving the department store.
Here's what we do.
Tell me.
We make the sizes customized to the people. So when I go into a store in the future, it will just be, it'll say on the tag, Nico,
Love that.
This one's perfect for you.
Yeah, I love that.
I mean, why isn't that possible? So when you go into a store, you just go to the Cheyenne section.
See, what we need is like everybody is different, but also there's certain body types, right? I have an hourglass shape, which means my waist right below my rib cage is tiny, but your girl's got baby birthing hips.
Yeah.
So if I go to buy a pair of jeans, I have to size up like three sizes just to get them over my, you know, my hips.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have to wear a belt and cinch them in. Like, we need clothing sizes for women that are like apple shape. These are better for pear shape. If you're this shape, make clothes work for women's bodies, not the other way around.
Word.
I'm very frustrated by this because I'm tired of feeling like garbage when I go and I work so hard.
I have the perfect way to cap this off for you, Cheyenne.
Tell me.
Make clothing great again.
1,000%. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Make it great again. Thank you.
Unbelievably. Hugely. All right, Nico, on Friday last week, we revealed 8 of the 10 questions.
Woo.
Now we've got Christina from Glendale on the phone. Christina, it's Minute to Win It that you're going to be playing. You've got 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You go as far as the right answers will take you. Once you get a question wrong, the game is over. There is no second chances, okay?
Okay.
All right.
No pressure at all.
No pressure.
10 questions. 60 seconds. Do you have what it takes?
Cheyenne's Minute to Win It starts now.
All right, Christina, question number one. How many fingers does Mickey Mouse have on each hand?
4.
In which ocean can you find the Bermuda Triangle?
I'm not going to get very far.
You only got so many options.
I know. I have no idea.
Take a guess.
Yeah.
30 seconds left, Christina.
Attention.
You want to read the question one more time?
In which ocean can you find the Bermuda Triangle?
10 seconds.
Yeah.
Just throw one out.
No.
Name an ocean.
Pacific.
No, that's not it. That's not it, Christina. So
I knew that wasn't it.
That's all right. You got the question number 2 on Minute to Win It, which obviously is not the 10, but I'm feeling generous, Nico. We're still going to send Christina to Disneyland. Christina, you didn't get the grand prize, but you're still going to take home 4 2-day, 1 park per day Disneyland Resort tickets, okay?
Okay, thank you very much, you guys.
Cheyenne, have you ever heard the saying, "You're not ugly, you're just broke"?
Yes, absolutely.
It is very true. And especially in the Kardashians case.
Oh my gosh. Do they even look
the before and after
the same anymore?
Are incredible.
It's incredible in a bad way.
In a really, really gross way.
Yeah, it's very, honestly, it's kind of sad.
I don't know. They seem pretty happy.
They do.
It's working for them.
I think it's sad that they, you know, had to go through such extremes, but that's okay. Everybody has things on them that they don't like.
Rob Lowe was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he said that Michael Jackson's plastic surgeon told him the singer requested Rob Lowe's chin. And if you think about it, Rob Lowe kind of has like a little bit of a butt chin going on. And Michael Jackson also, out of nowhere, had a butt chin.
Interesting.
Can you imagine the plastic surgeon who basically can do whatever he wants? He can make you look however he wants, which I don't know how Michael Jackson ended up looking how he looked. But
yeah, did nobody say, excuse me, sir?
Nobody hit the brake. His plastic surgeon wasn't like, Michael,
just calm down.
Stop doing this. I don't know why the plastic surgeon had an accent, but I feel like he has an accent.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, stop doing this. And Michael's like, no, I need that. No, I need that chin. I need Rob Lowe's chin.
What a compliment, though.
It totally went down like that. And then the doctor was like, I like Rob Lowe's chin also, Michael.
So but you will have the chin.
If we do more plastic surgery on your face, it will fall apart.
And it did. And it unfortunately.
Did. Yeah.
What a compliment, though, for somebody to be like, I want that feature of yours. I strongly dislike my nose.
Okay.
My nose is gigantic.
I have a perfect fix. Go to your plastic surgeon, which we all have one, right?
Am I right?
And tell them that you want my nose.
I feel like even though your nose is a little bit better than my nose,
you have a great nose.
The bridge of my nose is not good.
Stop it, you have a great nose.
I dislike it, thank you.
I would swap noses.
No, you would not.
100% I would.
I wouldn't take my nose.
You know what I would do if I could do that?
What?
I would take Timothy Chalamet's whole, like, face and body, because he's that slender guy.
He's petite.
And I would wear him like a costume.
The weirdest thing you've ever said.
Not like a Silence of the Lambs type thing.
You would bust out the seams of Timothée Chalamet.
No, I'm just saying I would just replace everything with him.
He's tiny.
Yeah, but that kid is absolutely crushing it, and he looks very youthful. And
he is very youthful.
I'm starting to look my age. Starting to. All right, producer AB, baby, whose parts are you stealing?
I would gladly accept anybody who's over 5'8" height.
He's stealing height.
You taking somebody's legs?
Well, maybe not.
It would make your torso look a little weird.
It might look a little weird.
You just see Abe with these big, long legs.
That's like guys on stilts.
And it wouldn't even have to be anything that would make me tall in that world. I mean, think about it. Kyler Murray is 5'10", and he is absolutely ridiculed for his height. If I woke up and I was 5'10"?
Yeah, but you don't play professional football.
I don't, and I don't care, but I would be so happy.
What body parts are we stealing, people? 602-894-5653. Michael Jackson stole Rob Lowe's chin. And he loved every second of it. Nico and Cheyenne, and while we're talking about it, hey, you know what? I would like to have Arnold Schwarzenegger's his arms and maybe... Ew. His chest, his pelvic muscles, too. Come on.
Wow. That's really good.
Oh, hey, Tanner. Hey, it's Tanner and Mesa, everybody. Hey, Tanner, if you could pick any celebrity or anybody in the world's body part, what would you pick?
I would kill for Larry Fitzgerald's badunkadunk, you know, because he's got a, you know what I mean? I seen him at the Phoenix Open, and I'm like, you know, when I'm line dancing out there on the floor and I got a flat booty, I want that booty instead. You know what I mean? You're moving around.
I have also laid eyes on the backside of Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
I don't blame you one bit, because frankly, I would take it too.
This is purely...
What is going on? It's like art or something.
This is purely... wanting his butt, not for your own personal gain, but for the admiration of the ladies.
And I'm telling you what, as a lady, as the resident lady in the room, we appreciate a good backside.
Oh, yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah, you do.
And if you don't got one, we know.
I don't have one.
We know.
I would be all day and bouncing nickels off of it, you know?
Oh, my God!
Tanner, just start doing those squats, bud.
It's all about the squats.
I'm working on it. I'm clenching right now.
Oh! I have a great idea for the future.
Oh, please tell me. Lay it on me.
Okay. Since we're a society of being open and honest with one another.
Are we, though?
No, we hide everything from one another. But for me, in the future, if I had a warning label on me, it would say, speak up. Because I can't hear you very well.
I understand this.
Do
for
you?
Sure. Yeah, 100%.
I can't tell you how many conversations with my wife where she got so irritated and started yelling at me. And I was like, I can't hear you.
I don't know what you're
saying. I'm so sorry that I had to say, what?
Or if you turn your back.
Yeah.
And I won't hear you.
Yeah.
I really struggle. It's not so much. I don't know if it's my hearing specifically, but I struggle with certain tones of people's voices.
Yeah.
Like, there's just some people that I can't hear. So I will ask what 10 times in a conversation, and it's not because I'm being rude or I'm not actively listening. I genuinely can't hear you.
Yeah, absolutely. From being a DJ the majority of my life and having monitor speakers and nightclubs 4 inches away from my ears, I have some severe hearing loss. So I
tell
people,
yours is definitely worse than mine.
I tell people, thank you.
You're welcome.
I tell people immediately when I meet them, I'm like, I'm not being rude if I ask what, okay? I'm not ignoring you. Your conversation is very important to me, but I just can't hear you.
Have you thought about getting hearing aids?
I thought about it.
Yeah? Why don't you?
I don't know, man. That's a whole level of like tapping into, you're old.
You're not old.
Yeah, you but it is.
Have bad hearing.
100% it's tapping into the world of your old.
I think that we make it an old person thing because as young people, we don't want to admit that our hearing's going.
That's like if my hip is hurting me one day, you're like, have you thought about getting a Rascal scooter? I'm like, wait a second. My hip just hurts. Take it easy. I have most of my hearing.
If you if you twist your ankle, you get a brace. If you hurt your knee, you get a brace.
Yeah.
If you do a lot of things, if something's not working on your body, you get an adjustment. If your hearing's not working,
you're telling me that I have tennis elbow. I'm gonna walk around with a brace on my elbow. Yeah. Are you crazy?
Get some
I'm not a professional
aids.
Athlete. This is the only movement I need out of this puppy. I'm good.
But
I'm
you
not,
use your hearing every day.
I am not. I'm not getting hearing aids. It's not happening.
Wouldn't even know.
Do you have a problem with my hearing?
I don't have a problem. We gotta talk about this. I have in-ear headphones. You're literally in my eardrum right now.
My wife wants me to get hearing aids. 100%.
She said only wear them at home.
So again, folks, if I ask you, huh? Just repeat yourself and don't talk like this to me. Nico, I gotta tell you about. And also, don't talk to me at a concert.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We experience this at the Bird's Nest.
Unless I'm outside of the actual physical room,
yeah.
If I've got music blaring in my face and you aren't good at articulating your lips so I can read what you're saying,
so annoying.
Don't talk to me. Wave to me. Wave high. That's fine.
I got Luke Bryan. Corn makes rain and right in my ear.
Corn makes rain.
Rain makes corn. Like crazy in my ear. And then I got somebody trying to catch up the last 20 years of my life with them.
Yep.
Hey, Nico. Like, not the time or the place. Scott, okay?
I can't hear you. I'm just going to nod my head at that
point.
We
need to carry on this conversation somewhere quieter. We're going to play a little game this morning. Nico and Cheyenne on Camel Country. Morning, y'all.
Morning.
One audio clip is real. The other is from a movie.
Okay.
Nah, I mean, you know the movie. We all know Talladega Nights.
Shake and Bake.
We all know Will Ferrell. You ain't first, you're last.
Absolutely.
But Ricky, if you win every time, how am I supposed to win? Well, you're not going to win. I'm going to win.
Arguably one of the best comedic movies of all time.
So here it is from Talladega Nights.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I f*** excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase, trademark, not to use it outside the tradition of Ricky Bobby.
I love that movie. Oh, man.
So that was from the movie Talladega Nights, and this was from the Daytona 500 this weekend.
Well, I was having the best day of my life, ripping around Daytona like a bald eagle. It's flat out, you know, avoided a wreck, which was awesome. I thought I was the best driver to ever exist in that moment. And it's probably because my sleeves were cut off that I was able to pull off that maneuver coming down pit road. Then someone slammed into my rear left quarter, spun me out, lived through that. Got some fresh tires, went back out of there. I'm hot dogging into one and two, and the car lost it in front of me. I saw it, didn't have enough brakes to get slowed down before it, and tried to go around it, misread it, zigged instead of zagged when I should have zagged, and I zigged. And bam! Blew the front end right off my hot rod.
I hate that for you.
Bam. Threw the front end right off my hot rod.
Oh, my God. I saw that so many times after it happened. It felt so good to see that.
I don't not watch this interview if it comes up on my timeline. So that is the voice of you might know him as Cletus McFarlane, but his name is Garrett Mitchell.
Yeah.
And
he's a big YouTube star. In the car community, he has his own racetrack in Florida. Like, he revitalized this old rundown track, and he was like, I want my own racetrack, and I'm going to invite all my friends over, and we're going to race around in circles.
And that's what they do. That's what they do. And he is, I mean, he's the real life Ricky Bobby.
He is so good.
Yeah.
And you said, Cheyenne, that not only was a star born at that moment, but your new best friend was born.
I feel like him and I would be really great friends. Like, I feel like all of us collectively in this room would be great friends with Cletus McFarlane.
Yeah. So Cletus McFarlane, if you have a second, we'd love to jump on the air with you and just talk about them bald eagles and them cut off sleeves. And
we might actually have an opportunity to get an in with him.
Oh, there we go.
Because he has a collaboration with Chase Matthew. Chase Matthew, you know him. We play him on air.
Okay.
He sings Darlin' and a couple of other songs, but they have a partnership, and Chase is going to be here in March for the Out of the Park Music Fest.
No kidding.
So I'm thinking...
We got to zig when we should have zagged.
Or we need to zag when we need to zig. I don't know.
You know what? I've realized something after this past Valentine's Day, Cheyenne.
Okay, what's that, Nico?
Especially by people's social media posts.
Uh-huh.
You can tell whether a couple is doing well or not doing well at all.
Why do you say that?
Because it's like the couples where you're like, wow, they're so terrible together. You see these like grandiose posts of like, my one true Valentine 45 picture slideshow with the flowers and the. You know what I did for my wife? I got her favorite flowers. I got her a gift card to her favorite spa. End of day. Boom. Done. Finito. Had pizza on Friday.
Yeah. One picture, one post.
That was it. Yeah.
I will say, the statement you're making XOXO. Is bold.
That's just what I picked up on as far as like our friends groups go.
Boy.
It's kind of like, yeah, okay, you guys suck together. Oh, here comes the post.
Yeah.
Bah, 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 bah.
I see what you're saying. It is a steep statement.
Yeah, so I guess overall, like, not just your social media love, but how you celebrate Valentine's Day, does it say something about your relationship?
I think that's dependent on the person in the relationship. Because if you're me, who I am, I hate to say hopeless because I'm not hopeless, but I am a romantic person.
Yeah.
When I love somebody, I love them very hard and I love them very publicly. And I think for me, if you were to look at a relationship that I was in and you would to see my Valentine's Day post, you would probably think that about me. But that's because I just love. And I appreciate it for what it is on a different level.
Okay.
So.
But the whole social thing about it is kind of like someone saying, hey, look at us. We're doing great, everybody.
I just want people to know that I love my person.
It's very performative,
but that's
though.
Like, that's only important between you and your person.
Absolutely.
So but that's why for Valentine's Day, I put a photo of my wife up.
I was like 10 years old.
She and I, we were in the ocean together, and I just did XOXO.
It was so cute.
And I did her name, and that's it.
No, I love that. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think however you want to express your love for somebody is totally fine.
But you're also saying, I express my love in 42 photo carousels and videos. And remember the first time we met, it was here.
I would probably, if I were in a relationship today, like if I would have been in a relationship on Friday for Valentine's Day, I probably would have done like 4 photos. Because I do think that you're right. Social media is very performative. I would have chosen my favorite ones where I looked the best, obviously.
Obviously.
And like something, I don't like very super long posts in general.
Yeah.
So, oh,
what about like a 3-paragraph caption?
I'm not doing that. If I do a post that has 3 paragraphs on it, I'm either A, being paid to do it, or C, it's something that means a lot to me. I'm talking about domestic violence or mental health or something like that.
Of course.
Those are like the only 2 reasons I'm going to do a post that has multiple paragraphs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
not for your boyfriend or hubby.
You know,
they're not important enough.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, but what I am saying is if you're giving us the whole bio of your relationship every single time you post something on social media,
I feel like that is a sign, yes.
You should probably just look at your person and be like, you know what? I love you. And that's all that matters. I don't need the whole world to know it. So take it easy, you multi-posters.
Calm down. Stop performing is what he's trying to say.
You guys, I went to the Theater of Dreams.
What is that?
That is Old Trafford.
Huh?
That is home to the Manchester United Red Devils. It was a lifelong dream. It was a dream of mine to go to Manchester.
Because you're a big United fan.
England. Yes, I am. Yeah. Thank you, Cheyenne, for recognizing that.
Some people might not know that.
Yeah, it is true, folks, okay? I like the other kind of football. But I like our football, too. But I also like the other kind of football. And I went there, and it's a party. Like, you're drinking nonstop. And so by the time we got into the game, I was still trying to hold my pee, right?
Oh.
I was still trying to hold it. I didn't want to crack the seal because I knew that it would be disastrous.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much money for this trip. We had the best seats ever. We were right there, right behind the goal. Like, it was insane.
Yeah.
I had to. I had to go. Went to the restroom. There's like 20,000 people waiting for the restroom, mate. I'm standing behind all these guys doing a little pee-pee dance. All of a sudden, I hear,
no!
Manchester United scores.
Oh, no! While in line for the bathroom.
Do you know what the final score of the game
was? Don't tell me it was 1-0.
1-0.
That was the only score? No!
Oh, man.
Awful.
What a letdown.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah.
This is a part of the reason why it's really hard for me to, like, drink at events.
Yeah.
Anything other than water, because I have a very small bladder. Yeah. And once I start to pee, I will use the restroom frequently.
Oh, okay.
Especially if I'm drinking alcohol. Beer makes me have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I've learned, I don't drink on flights.
Wear a diaper.
I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Nope.
Not an option.
Not an option. I don't drink on flights. I don't drink at sporting events or concerts very frequently because I know I'm going to have to go to the bathroom and I will miss so much.
The worst is if you're sitting down at a movie.
Oh, yes.
Because, like, you don't want to miss a millisecond in the movie.
You don't want to miss a second in the movie. And then it's also dark and you got to stand up and walk in front of people impeding the view.
Excuse me.
Excuse me, sorry.
Excuse me. Sorry. Oh, you're trying to watch a movie right now? Excuse me.
Sorry. And then you got to come back. It's just very much not my jam. And then again, you're, like you said, I don't want to miss a second of that movie. Because if I paid money to see it in theaters and I didn't wait for it to come out on streaming, I want to see the whole movie.
They have an app, actually, so you never have to miss another. Well, you will miss it, but you at least know what happened.
What do you mean? They have an app for that, for everything, but what are you talking about?
There's an app specifically with pee times, like pee breaks, in every movie, including the ones that just came out.
There's an app that tells me when is the best time to go pee during a movie.
Yep, and not only can you start the timer, like at the very beginning of the movie, and it'll alert you when it's time to go, it tells you how long you have to get back to your seat.
It sends you a notification?
That's so cool. It little buzzes in your pocket, and you're like, oh, it's time to go. And there's usually 3 to 4 per movie, and then there's also a little brief synopsis of what you missed.
Oh, very important. So instant replay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
What is this app called?
Run Pee.
And of course it is. Of course it is.
I almost missed meeting Luke Bryan last week.
You know what? You did. You did because you had to go to the bathroom.
We had to pull off the 101 in a hurry.
Yeah.
And we stopped off at some weird, like, artist tent. It was like this artist enclave or whatever you call that thing.
It's a weird thing.
And I ran inside and I was like, hey, bathroom. And the guy said,
no.
It's over there, mate. I don't know why he was English, but he was. It was the weirdest situation. This was not the case of me holding it. I wanted to get rid of it ASAP, just didn't have a proper place to go.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
And then I found one. But apparently, like a lot of people, if they're put in that situation, they might have difficulty going.
It's a whole thing. Bathroom anxiety is a really weird thing. In fact, 92% of people have bathroom anxiety. But it's like they don't want to miss out on something or miss an important moment. So it stresses them out.
Yeah.
So they just don't go.
The bathroom for some people can be very, very touchy subject.
The bathroom's a weird place.
I think I know a few people that refuse to go to the bathroom in public.
I know multiple people who do.
They have to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
which is weird to me.
My one friend Greg was always like, oh, gotta go, guys. And we're like,
you just would up and leave.
Did you just double entendre me? Because he had to go to the bathroom, but he also had to go home in order to go to the bathroom.
I can't imagine having an anxiety that bad, especially because I know that I'm like, I frequently have to.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able, like, I would never be able to leave my house.
Yeah. That'd be scary.
I literally pee 20 times a day during the show alone.
This is true.
Yeah. I go to the bathroom a lot.
This is why I'm thinking you need a colostomy bag or something of that nature. That way, you'll save a lot of time.
That's not.
You'll save a lot of bathroom breaks. No. That's not what that does.
No.
I thought that's what that does. but a guy, it can be a little intimidating when you're walking up to that stall, especially if there's not a middle divider.
Uh-huh. To go to the bathroom?
Yeah, to go pee-pees.
Oh.
Not the other one. No, to go pee-pees. It can be a little intimidating. Like if you walk up to a guy who's like 6'8", you know. It can be a little intimidating.
Yeah, I get that.
You know,
and I then understand.
Your guy goes, I don't want to come out. I don't want to come out. I want to stay right here. And you're like, no, you have to perform right now. I need you for this. We need you. I don't want to. Okay.
Oh my.
And then you get like a little. That is the worst drip sound effect ever. So that was supposed to be a drip, by the way. So that was supposed to be a drip. So yeah, we experience it too. Guys do. The women don't have that problem though.
We don't have that problem like that. No.
Y'all just. We have take stalls. Your super time though.
We do. Ooh. That's why the girls' bathroom line is so long.
Hey, ladies. Can we? Can we pick up the pace a little bit? I'm not even waiting for your line, but I'm still a little annoyed by it.
You and me both, bud.
Every time I go to State Farm Stadium or whatever, I'm looking at the female line. I'm like, whoa.
It's so bad. What? Do what needs to be done and get out.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Public service announcement.
That's our PSA for bathrooms.
Is there any one standard way, Camel Nation, to communicate with someone while you are on the phone?
Like, what are you trying to say?
Let me clarify. I walked up to Drew, our boss, who was on the phone. He was on the cell phone call.
Okay.
And I had just gotten to the event, so I kind of just want to, like, say, hello.
I'm here. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
I'm seeing you for the first time in a couple days, actually. So, hello. You know, maybe give him a little fist bump or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally turned and looked at me while he was on the cell phone, and he did not acknowledge me at all.
That's weird.
It was the strangest interaction ever, because Lord knows, whenever I'm on the phone and someone approaches me that I haven't seen in a few days, especially a coworker, I'll give them the one finger up.
Like, give me a minute. Like,
hey, 1 second. Hey, I do want to acknowledge you. I do want to say hello.
Yeah.
He looked like a deer in headlights.
Maybe you were about to hear a conversation you were not supposed to be a part of.
I didn't know if I was scaring him or what was going on. It didn't seem that. But also, like, if you're on something super private, then you give, like, the stop sign.
Like,
you give, like, the hold up.
Yes.
I'll be, just give me a second. And then you do the 1 second. Like, hold up. Like, I want to see you. I'm acknowledging you.
Stop progressing forward.
He looked at me like I had a on my forehead.
That's a little weird. I'm not going to lie.
He was like, huh?
That was a perfect impersonation.
And I stood there awkwardly like a little schoolgirl waiting for direction.
Like, drawing
hey,
circles in the sand.
Hey, are you
going
to give me some type of signal as to what you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And he did nothing.
He did nothing.
So absolutely weird.
That is really weird.
And even if I see somebody that I love and I appreciate them, like if I was to see myself, I would, give myself a little fist bump. Hey, man, hey, give a little fist bump and I'll catch up with you type of thing.
Yes, like, I'll catch,
The
fingers, the hand, and the arm motion
can be very expressive.
Do so much.
He does
nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
That's very uncomfortable. What did you do?
I just stood there for about 10 seconds, like a deer in headlights, and went, okay, so you're not going to give me any sign as to what I should do now.
So I'm just going to
walk away.
Oh, you walked away.
So then I caught up with him after the fact. And I was like, hey, man, I didn't mean to interrupt an important phone call. He was like, oh, man, I was just talking radio stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was like a casual kind of work call. And he's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, so why didn't you
motion to me. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. This just got weirder.
I said, why didn't you acknowledge me? And he was like, oh, sorry about that, man. It was just a work call. And I'm like, yeah, just let me know that. Okay, so I'm not standing there for 10 seconds looking like a ding-dong. So that was my conversation with Drewski while he was on the phone.
I don't envy that conversation or situation at all.
So we are going to have to create a standard for people that are approaching you for the first time. Because I didn't want to ignore him and just walk by. Because that's clearly rude. Like,
yeah.
You know, if somebody walked by me and I knew who they were and they clearly knew who I was, I'd be like, wave something.
Yeah, you got to give something.
You got to give something.
That I think that is the standard. So, I think he came under the standard.
I think he just got caught off guard. And
yeah.
He
didn't know what to do.
He was like, I don't know what to do. I got to do two things at once. We all know that Drew is not good at doing two things at once.
It's true.
We should not make fun of our boss this much.
We should not. I feel...
Strike the last thing.
He's wonderful.
But also, do not strike the last thing. It's time to say adios, amigos.
Love you so much. Bye.
I got to get to the chiropractor.
Yeah, you do.
I need a miracle worker. I know a lot of people are hesitant to go to the chiropractor because they're like, chiropractors aren't real doctors.
I live and breathe by my chiropractor.
Oh, nice.
Both my kids go, even my 8-year-old.
Okay.
So my childhood chiropractor saved my older brother's life. Because
wow.
He had a rib or if I remember right, have to ask my mother, but he had a rib or something out that was causing him to have an asthma attack and the asthma wouldn't go away. So finally, after the hospital couldn't they weren't treating him, my mom took him to the chiropractor and he put like ribs and stuff back into place.
Whoa.
My brother could breathe.
Wow.
So I am very, very pro chiropractor.
I am not negatory chiropractor. I've just never been before.
You've never been to a chiropractor?
I've never had like an issue with my bones being out of place.
Oh, it's going to change your life.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to. I'm so excited.
Because right
for
now,
you.
This is not the life I want to live.
I did not realize this morning earlier that you just hadn't been to a chiropractor ever.
No.
I go every 4 weeks.
Surprise!
I love this for you.
Oh, every 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so today's the day. So I'll let y'all know tomorrow morning if it worked or if it didn't. So goodbye now.
This is Nico and Cheyenne.
Camel Country 107.9.